I hope you all have some wonderful fellowship in the afternoon, right? I heard the young people had a very good time together. It's great. Sometimes it's much better in the fellowship than in a meeting like this. Oh, where is my outline? Yeah. Let's go to the outline. It's easier. I think all the points in the outline, it's up to you when you go home or go back to your room tonight, early in the morning. You can get into the word, right? This is not just some outline, but it is to help us understand 1 John. So the words here are very important, right? Please get into it. We don't need to have any message concerning all these verses, but it is your job. Go back and get into the word. And if you do it, and eat the word. Do it prayerfully. Have fellowship with the Lord. And you will receive light and life from Him. Remember, when we come to the Word of God, it is not to get knowledge, although you will get knowledge. But the main thing we want to receive is this wonderful life of Christ. Because only this life can change you. Life is the most precious thing that you possess. Suppose your human life ends. You're not, what do you have? Right? But if this life is gone, you lose everything. It's the end of everything. So we all need to realize life is very precious. Life is really very precious. In the past few months, I know quite a few people before who were even very close to me. They passed away. And once they passed away, everything is gone and finished. Right. Just a couple of days ago, we received a news that one of our dear friends passed away. Right. But what can you do if somebody passed away? Our life is in God's hand. And nobody knows when he's going to go. Do you? Nobody knows. Right. We can go anytime. This is why you need to redeem the time to gain what is most precious to you. But it depends on you. Right. You have the liberty. Our God never forces anyone. Now, you make your choice. You have a free will. Whatever you want to do, the Lord will not force you to do it, nor to stop you from doing it. Our God is so great, He doesn't need to control anybody. Sometimes I wish He would control me. Don't you? Right? But no, He gave man a free will. But we, the Christians, we like to control. We'll do this. Hear me. Do what I say. We like to control people. But God is so great, He doesn't need to control you. And He doesn't want to control you. Even when the children grew up at a certain age, it's very difficult for you to control them. Right? Karina, you control your two girls? Well, try it anyway. Even if you try so hard, you can't. You can't. Right? And God is the same way. You know, the greater you are, the more you would give people the liberty. God never forces people to believe in him. Even when Jesus was on this earth, he never forced anyone. It's up to you. He did so many wonderful things to people, but he never demanded them, hey, come back, don't forget, I healed you, I did this for you, come back and listen to me, okay? The Lord never did that. But we, oh yeah, I preached the gospel to you, right? And you got saved, now I'm your spiritual father, huh? Oh my goodness. They want to control everybody. No, our God is not a control freak. But our God gives liberty to all of you, right? Brother Chua, did God ever force you to do anything? No? Really? Yeah. He never forced me to do anything. Everything he did to me and for all of us is out of his love for you. And if you love him, then you will obey him and do what he says. It's a relationship of love. So the second message that John talks about this eternal life is God is love. It's not your human fallen love. No, it's his divine, pure life and pure love. God's love is pure. Our love is fallen. We have a motive behind the love. But God's motive is pure, not fallen. His love is wonderful. Why did he lay down his life for you, Brother Chua, and for me and for all of us? Because he loves you. Not because you're lovable. You know, you're lovable. Or why did he love you? Will you love someone that is not lovable? You're right, me too. I will also shake my head if you ask me. But our wonderful God, he even loves us while we are still his enemies. Can you imagine that? Do you love your enemy? Pancho, do you love your enemies? Or you call them frenemies? That's a very strange word, frenemy. There's no such thing. And even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Would you do this? Only God's love can accomplish such a wonderful work. Even before you were born, he chose you before the foundation of the world. Not because you are good, no, but because he loves you. And he wants to give this life to you. And remember, this eternal life can do so much within you. God is not going to use any other method than his life. Yes, of course, sometimes we need some discipline, right? But even the discipline of God, like Hebrews 12 says, he disciplines us because he loves us. But you discipline your children because you're mad at them. How many times did I tell you not to do and you're doing it again? Pack, pack. And That's the way we discipline our children. Ah, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. But God's disciplining us is out of love for us. It's a very different result. If you do it out of love, or you do it out of anger. So, and God disciplines us out of love because he wants us to partake of his holiness. And he wants us to bear peaceable fruit of righteousness. He wants us to be like him. But he cannot force you. He did everything out of love. This is why it says, everybody knows John 16, for God so loved the world. But I'm not sure you emphasize the word love. Right. But this is the motive of God for our redemption, because he loves you. Unconditional. Many times I ask him, why did you love me? Right. Have you ever asked God, George, why did he love me? Am I lovable? Sarah, are you lovable? But God loves you. Right? Unconditional love. Our love is conditional. And if you don't fill that condition, that's it. Right. And I've seen that in the churches many, many times. But the love of God is unconditional. He never changed. Right. So praise the Lord. The second very important point, what John is telling us, is God is love. God is love. He who does not know God, who he doesn't love, does not know God. You think you do, but if you do, then you must be one who truly loves God. Right. If you know God, 1 John tells us, then you will love. And if you love God who begets, John says, you will also love those begotten of God. It's very normal. And then John further said, if you cannot love the brother that you can see, how can you love God whom you cannot see? He's very logical. Remember, he's not a theologian, he's a fisherman. It's very normal. And he turned it the other way around. You love the Father who begets, then you'll also love. He didn't say you should love. Because if you should, you must, then that's a demand from you, right? Okay, you're a Christian. Now you have to love the brothers and sisters. It doesn't work like that. But he who loves the Father who begets also loves those begotten by the Father. Meaning to say that this life works automatically. It's an instinct. It's not that you have to. You must. If you must and you have to, it doesn't work. No, but this life that is within you automatically will love those who are also born of God. So God is love. If you do not love, John says, you don't know God. But you say, I know the Bible. I know God. You're deceiving yourself. If you love God, then you really will know God. And if you love the saints, it's a proof, an evidence that you know God. Very simple. It is not hard. But what is our experience fighting, right? If you don't do what I told you to do, I hate you. Cut you off. Get lost. I'll show you the door right there. And don't ever show up again. We Christians fight and divide. Look how many different groups and division among God's people. Perhaps it's the most divided organization in the world today. And every day you see new divisions coming up because we cannot get along. Right? What did you do that they persecute you? Did you do something bad in Clarín? Aren't you? Come on, and how come they're against you? Why are they against you? Pancho, you must have done something terrible. No? You believe Pancho? It's the opposite, because he's obeying the word of God. But they disagree with you. Did you reject them because they disagree with you? No, but they reject you. Why? Very strange. You know what that proves? It proves they do not know God. They know a lot of with you, and you disagree with me. Somebody was asking somebody, I don't want to name names, so it's somebody was asking somebody just very, very recently, is he still talking about the priesthood? You know who he is, right? Talking about the priesthood. What can I say? Am I still talking about a priesthood? No, I'm talking about 1 John. I'm talking about God is light and God is love. But let me tell you the secret. It is all about the priesthood. If you don't know how to live this eternal life within you, how are you going to practice the priesthood? The whole Bible, starting from Abel, even before Abel, when man fell immediately, God prepared an offering. Because Adam and Eve used leaves to cover themselves. That's not very good, because how long can the leaves cover you? Especially if the sun is shining and good weather and it's so hot and warm. All the leaves will fall down and your flesh will be exposed. So God killed an animal, and it's the first time blood was shed. And out of the skin of the animal, God made a covering for man. You know, that is a burnt offering. Because a whole animal was killed, but that skin becomes a covering for the one who offers that burned offering. What is the skin for? not for a display on the floor, so you can say, wow, that's a wonderful tiger skin. Of course, God didn't slay a tiger. So from the very beginning, an offering was sacrificed, a sin offering and a burned offering. Well, what's wrong about offering? And what about Abel? So from the very beginning, offering was mentioned in the Bible. After the flood, Noah offered sacrifice. Abraham offered sacrifices. God's people offer the sacrifice, even daily sacrifices. And if the feast, the time of the feast arrived, my goodness, you should read Leviticus chapter 23. How many sacrifices were offered during the Passover? And the most sacrifices offered at the last feast of the tabernacle. So many. So many. So the whole Bible is talking about the priesthood, whether you like it or not. Even at the very end of the Old Testament, it is talking about the priesthood. And God was very angry because they didn't follow God's word to bring the best of the sacrifice to him. So, and I have to tell you tonight, the goal of all the scriptures is to help you to gain Christ. And why are you getting Christ? Is it just for yourself? It is to offer food, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. It may not be acceptable to many other people, but it doesn't matter because you're not offering it to them, you're offering it to God. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That means you're not offering anything to God but Jesus Christ. That's the burnt offering. That's the meal offering, a wonderful meal offering. That's the peace offering. That's why people didn't have any peace, right? Christ is our peace. How come we are fighting all the time? You have peace? And the gospel, remember, in Ephesians chapter 2 is called the gospel of peace. You only know about the gospel of salvation. What about the gospel of peace? Even the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, your feet must be shod with what? Gospel of peace. Wonderful. And the Lord told his disciples when he sent the 70 disciples to preach the gospel, the first thing you said when you enter into the house is, peace be with you. Peace. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So, what are you, a troublemaker or are you a peacemaker? You didn't say, blessed are the troublemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. That means the unique characteristic of God's children is to make peace. Are you a peacemaker? We should be, because we are children of God. We're born of God. Paul said many times to end his epistles, grace and peace be with you all. Peace is very important. Even the whole world was hoping for peace, but instead of peace, they make war. Have you ever read Psalm 120? The psalmist says, I love peace, but they love to make war. So, what are you, a peacemaker or a warmonger? Even sometimes between husband and wife, just a little bit of misunderstanding, a bit, an explosion came out of that. Right? Oh, many of the wives and husband are laughing, right? We should be the most peaceful people in the whole world, but it starts in your home, starts in a church life. And you can only have this peace if you have eternal life. The life of God is a life of peace and love. So, if you want to practice the priesthood, don't be a quarreling priest, okay? Be a man of peace. So, when Jesus was born, what happened? You see the angels singing. What? What did they say? Peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind. He came to bring peace. But many of the Christians, they go to your meeting not to make peace, but they want to convince you. They want to fight until you don't do that. Don't do this and listen to me. For goodness, there's no peace. History tells us the Roman Catholic Church for almost 1,000 years have killed, martyred so many Christians, more than the 10 periods of the Roman Emperor's persecution on the Christian. The worst torturing machines were developed during that time. And none of the Pope admitted to it until the Polish Pope, you know. The Polish Pope, the first time in history he admitted. Yes, he admitted. And throughout the last almost 600 years after Reformation, there's division upon division, quarreling concerning the Word of God, fighting. I don't agree with you, you don't agree with me. Can you imagine at a time of Martin Luther? He just came out of the Roman Catholic Church because he saw so many things that are not scriptural. But then he still kept some of the unscriptural things. And he talked about children baptism. And in those times when the Anabaptists saw the baptism is by baptizing, immersing in the water, and only if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not children 8 years old and 8 days old, you baptize them, they know nothing. You know what Martin Luther called them? Children of the devil, you. Practicing adult baptism, Martin Luther called them children of the devil. Why would you call Christians children of the devil? You cannot tolerate somebody who is different from you. So, what did you do that they are against you? Nothing. You didn't do anything. You didn't even force them to believe in the priesthood, right? I even told So many of our brothers and sisters all over the world, in Europe, in the States, do not force people to practice the priesthood. No, don't force anybody, right, John? We never did that, and we will never do that. But if the Lord opened your eyes, that's fine, praise the Lord. And if you don't want it, that's fine too. Don't force anyone. That is why the Bible says, whosoever believeth. What does it mean, whosoever? That means your choice. If you want to, praise the Lord. If you don't want to, it's up to you. Whosoever. Even the last call in the book of Revelation, right? Chapter 22, verse 17. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life. You have to pay for it. No? Really? Goodness. Really? Enlarge your heart. Enlarge your heart. But don't make it larger than God, okay? But enlarge your heart. And the goal of these wonderful epistles, the gospel, and even epistles of Peter, of Paul, right? Paul says the best way to build up the church is what? The body of Christ. Built by the big apostles, the pastors, the elders. Did he say that? How do you build up the body of Christ? In love. He even can say it in English. Isn't that wonderful? In love. The body of Christ builds itself up in love. If you don't have that love of God, you cannot build up anything. You may build up for a few years, a couple of years, and then boom, it fell apart again. So in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, walk in love. Paul mentioned two things, walk in the light and walk in love. So both Paul and John are talking about the same thing, the same way. Don't think Paul is talking about so many doctrines. No, he summarized it in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, walk in love and walk in the light. So, what is the difference? No difference. No difference. But don't say, well, Paul didn't say and talk about the priesthood. You're wrong. Everything is for the priesthood. When Paul says, God, whom I serve in my spirit, that word serve is not as a slave, but as a priest. That word serve is a priestly service. Latreo is a word for a priestly service. God, whom I serve as priest in the gospel. So even when a person is saved, Paul says, I offer them as the first fruits. To the Father. Wonderful. So when a person is saved, it is for the satisfaction of God the Father. It's not for us to compete. Oh, I brought 10 people to the Lord. No, I brought more. I brought 12. Or even a witness competition. And then you even get stars. Ooh. How about that? You think Paul is competing against Barnabas to see who saved more people? But can you imagine people are doing that? You cannot imagine. But they are doing it. So is it out of love? No. So light and love, these two words are so wonderful. Even Second Peter. I'm using all of these verses to convince you. In Second Peter, Paul talks about faith, that this faith must grow in chapter one, right? So he said, if you have faith, that's not enough. You have to be diligent to add to faith. The first thing is what? Virtue. We need a lot of divine, wonderful virtues of Christ. Yeah, you believe in the Lord, but you're so impatient with other people. No virtue. And only after you have virtues, then the next step is knowledge. If you have knowledge without virtues, my goodness, you're going to be a little pope. I tell you, a little pope. You think you're better than the others. I know it. I understand it. You don't understand anything. Oh, my goodness. You have to come and ask me for everything. No. Firstly, virtue, then knowledge. Then you add to your knowledge what? Self-control. You have to learn to control yourself. Self-control is something very important, but it grows in you. Virtue, knowledge, then self-control. It's just like going to school. First, you go to kindergarten, then elementary school, then you go to high school. You keep on going. Spiritual growth is the same. Then, after self-control, you have endurance, perseverance toward others. You have patience. But firstly, you have to learn self-control. Otherwise, you will not have patience with others. But this is our experience. You cannot control yourself. You will not have patience with other people. And then you add to perseverance, you add what? Godliness. Well, then you begin to express God. You add godliness. You go up another level. And then after godliness, brotherly love. That's right. Brotherly love doesn't come right in the beginning now, because children, they like to quarrel. Mine, that's mine. The other one, no, that's mine, and they start a fight over a little matter, over a little piece of candy, a little toy, they fight. And after brotherly love, the highest growth and maturity is the divine love, agape, the love of God. This is what Peter told us. Very wonderful writing of Peter in his old age. Every one of the apostles talked about this. Then what about James? He talked about brotherly love. Exercise your faith without what? Charlie, what word did he use? Somebody help me. Huh? without partiality. Very difficult to practice faith without partiality. Today in America, they're teaching people to hate, to make impartiality of everything. Try to make people to fight against each other, this group against that group. Horrible, horrible. But James says, practice your faith without partiality. And he is talking about the golden rule. What was the golden rule, did he say? The golden law, to love your neighbor as yourself. James said the same thing. The same thing. All the apostles said the same thing. I don't have time and we don't want to get into all of this, but I just want to remind you all that it's not just John talking about it, but John made it very simple and very clear because he's talking about the evidence of life. If you say you have eternal life, but you do this and you do that, you walk in darkness, then how can you say you have life? You're lying, he says. In chapter 2, he says, he who hates his brothers is still in darkness. You're not in the light, you're in darkness. And you don't know God. Even worse, he says, you're in death. No life. The opposite of life is what? Death. So God is love is the second message. Now let's go quickly to the outline. Because John, later in his older age, in his gospel, he's talking about life. John is He majored, if I may use the word, he majored in life. His gospel is the gospel of life. And First John is talking about the evidence of this life, right? Of all the apostles, John is really PhD of love and life. He stressed the matter of life. And so in First John, he's telling us, how do you know that he has life? What is the evidence? Life needs to be manifested. If you say you have eternal life, but it's not manifested, how do I know you have life? You're quarreling all the time, and you tell me you're saved, you're born of God, you have eternal life. I say, well, how does it look like eternal life? Life must be manifested. If it's not manifested, who knows you have life? How do you know you have life? So John says, let's go to the outline, page 2. God is love. You read all those verses in 1 John. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So what are the signs that you're born of God? Oh yeah, I believe in God, so I'm saved, I'm born again. But how do I know that you're real, genuine? Today there's so many fake news and fake this and fake that. Everything is fake. Everything is not real. How do I know it's real? It is if you love this wonderful life, the unique manifestation of this life is love. Because God is love. So the life that he has given you, indwelling in you, is manifested through your love, not through your knowledge of the Bible. What did Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, did write in 1 Corinthians chapter 8? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Right? So what do you prefer, knowledge or love, Mark? Choose. How about you, Brother Aurelio? Yeah, Aurelio. If you have to choose between knowledge and love, what do you prefer to have? Love, of course. I'll answer it for you, right? Let me read to you. I think that verse is very impressive and every one of us must know. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Oops. Yep. Now, in verse 1, concerning things offered to idols, we know all, right? That we all have knowledge. We all know that idol is nothing. But he says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love edifies. Don't just feed people with knowledge, but with love. Love builds up. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. So don't say, I know everything. If you say that, if you hear somebody that says, I know everything, oh, you say, then you know nothing. So, John, yeah, how much do you know? You should say, I know nothing. Don't say, oh, I know everything. Come ask me. No. You say that you know everything. He knows anything. He knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. What is it better, to know him, you think you know him, or to be known by him? You know, one day when the Lord comes back and you showed up, yep, here I am, Lord. The Lord says, who are you? You're in trouble. You are in trouble. You remember the five foolish virgins came back late trying to buy oil at the very last moment and knocked at the door. The Lord says, who are you? Oh, Lord, here we are. We're the virgins, right? The Lord says, I don't know you. Oh, my goodness. And not only in Matthew chapter 25, and Matthew chapter 7. Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, did we not preach your name in our street everywhere? Did we not do so many good things in your name? Even cast out demons, were all so powerful in your name. What does the Lord say? I do not know you. I do not know you. Do you want to hear that when the Lord comes back? He says, I'm Benson. I attended a conference and meeting every conference I'm there. I will make announcement. I did so many things for you in your name. And then the Lord says, I do not know you. I'll have a heart attack. Lord, I gave so many conferences. The Lord says, I do not know you. Who are you? But it is so simple. It's so simple. How come you don't know me? I don't know you. So you should love God today. Love him. Whatever you do for him, do it out of genuine love for him. Don't just do it. Okay, I want to serve God and do something for him and finish and go away. Love him. If you love him, you will do his will. Many times I told the Father, how can I do your will if you don't tell me what your will is? I'm from the earth. You're from above. How can somebody from the earth know the things from above? I said, if you don't tell me your will, what do you expect me to do? You said, but not everybody who says, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, except those who do the will of the Father in heaven. How often have you asked the Father in heaven, Father, what is your will? I told you the other day, right? The food of our Lord Jesus Christ is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. Right, Anna, you're the one who showed us that verse, right? My food is to do the will of the Father. And in Hebrews chapter 8, it says, a body you have given to me. Behold, I come to do your will, O God. To do his will. I don't want to do anything else. Whether you agreed or not, I don't care. As long as I am sure it is the will of the Father, I'll do it. Not just to do anything for God. It's easy to do anything for God. But that's not what God wants. To do the will of the Father, you need to have a close relationship with him. And he needs to show you what his will is. We are practicing the priesthood today, not because it's written in the Bible. Okay, it's written. There's so many things written in the Bible, okay. Why are you doing that? Oh, it's written in the Bible. No, it's not enough. Because there's so many things written in the Bible. So what's the most important thing? What is the desire of God for us to do today? Not just to have light. Why do you need to have light? Just to have light? No, you need to have light to do a lot of things. If there's a blackout, and there's no light, you stop doing anything, right? You cannot do a lot of things in the dark. You need to know what you're doing. So, what is light for? Why do you want to walk in the light? Not just, okay, to walk in the light. Where are you going? Walking in the light. What is the goal of your walking in the light? Just to walk in the light? To go jogging in the have a light of life is to know the will of the Father so that you can do what is well pleasing to Him, to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear, to satisfy God's will. Thy will be done on earth. What is his will on earth? What does he want? If you're in darkness, you will not know. It's okay not to know, but you have to ask him. You're working for a company and you don't know what to do, what do you do? Just do anything. You lose your job if you do that. Ask the boss. Boss, what do you want me to do? Right? You worked for Microsoft once upon a time. It's good once upon a time. So you just go ahead and go to Hawaii and do whatever you like and enjoy life in the beach. No. If you do that, you'll be fired. You do what a company wants you to do. You have to know the will of the company, of the CEO, what he wants you to do, of your manager, you have to know. Don't just go ahead and do whatever you like to do. Doesn't work like that. Our wonderful God has a will, not, okay, Lord, what am I going to study? What is your will that I say? Oh, okay, God's will is for me to be an engineer. That is not God's will. It's up to you. You can choose. If you don't love engineering, but your God says, oh, yes. Nevertheless, you can go study engineer. You have to do it. That's my will. Well, God's will is not for you to be an engineer, but it's your choice. Right? Or did your parents force you to study IT, information technology? No? Well, no, your mom probably forced you. Or your dad. But I didn't do it. Grandpa didn't do it, okay? It's up to you. It's not, oh, the will of God is for me to be a computer scientist. Okay, fine, fine. But God has a much higher will for all of us. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, what is his will? Why did he create all these wonderful things? Why did he make you? And why are you saved today? What is his goal? What does he want us to achieve today on his earth? For his name, for his glory, for his purpose, for his kingdom to come to this earth. And how can you do that? You have to ask him. If you don't ask him, you can guess, but don't guess. You don't need to guess. We're not in a guessing game, okay? You ask the Father to do the Father's will. You have to know what his will is. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, everything he did is according to the Father's will. He said, a son can by himself and of himself do nothing. But what he sees the Father does, that he do. And then he also said, okay, I saw what the Father wants to do. I run and go ahead and do it. He says, no, even in doing it, it is the Father in me who does it. Oh my goodness. It's not, okay, Father, tell me what to do. Okay, the Father says, do that. Okay, I just run there and do it. And at the end, if it's me doing the job, I will mess up his will, I tell you, I assure you, 100%. Maybe 101%. I'm going to mess up his will. Even to carry out his will, it has to be through his life, through Christ in me. Paul says, it's not I, but Christ in me, Christ living in me. It's not that he is so capable . This is the way to carry out God's will. That's why we need light and we need his love and we need the fellowship with the Father and with his Son and we need the inner anointing. Then we can carry out God's will. And then you will not be disappointed. There's so many and everybody's against it in Mindanao. Then you will complain, Father, if it is your will, how come everybody's against it? Maybe I'm wrong. Then you change your mind. And you'll agree and join the crowd. So when the Lord was on this earth, Everybody was against him. Right? Hardly anybody's against is for him. But the Lord didn't care because he cares for what the Father says. Remember, he is supreme. Right. I honor the elders. Fine, that's right. But if they're wrong, sorry. Somebody's higher than you. I go up to the one that's higher. I go up to God. If what anybody says is against the will of the Father, who are you going to listen to? When the apostles were on this earth at that time, the highest authority among the Jewish nation is the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, the elders. But they're all against Christ. And they even command John and Peter, don't speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, don't teach this name to the people. That must be Acts chapter 4, verse 19, right? Maybe, right? What did they say? You judge for yourself. Is it right for us to listen to men more than we listen to God? Oh, so you tell me. If they are right, I'll be very happy to comply. But if they are wrong, I have to listen to God because God is higher. He's the Almighty God. It says the Most High God. Same thing anywhere, whether it is in the world or in the church. If someone calls himself an apostle, a super one, although there's no super apostle, there's no such thing as super apostle. The more they claim they are super, no, they're not super, they are sub apostle, not super, like a submarine, okay? Somewhere in there. Then you cannot listen to them. I went through that. Really. We went through that. People call themselves, I am the apostle, and everybody must listen to me. Every age, God only used one man, and I am that man, okay? Oh, goodness. Well, what happened at the very end? That dear brother taught everybody that we can become God. So, are you going to listen to that? Are you? Are you God? Are you God? You want to be God? A baby God? I remember when I was in Manila several years ago. Couple of young people came to me and says, what are we going to do? The brother there asked every one of us to stand up and says, hallelujah, I'm a baby God. And everybody was standing up, hallelujah, I'm a baby God. And some couldn't say that and was rebuked. Are you going to stand up and say, baby God, I'm a baby God? Oh, okay, I'm a teenager God. Somebody will say, maybe John Yahweh will stand up and say, I'm an adult God. And I will say, hallelujah, I'm a grandfather God. Goodness, are you going to obey that? You tell me. I don't care who taught that, even if Paul would tell that. Would have taught that to the people. Even Paul said that. If I or anybody else preach to you another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. Even Paul says that in Galatians. Right? You were studying Galatians, right? In chapter 1, did not Paul say that? Somebody should have at that time stood up. Hey, you are cursed if you say that, teaching young people to say, hallelujah, I'm a baby God. Are you a baby God? Oh, no, I'm glad you say no. But hey, I'm telling you, you have to stand up and say, I'm a baby God. If you don't, I'm going to show you the window, not the door. No, learn to listen to God. This is why when talking about the anointing in 1 John chapter 2, do we have time? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about love. I don't know how come I ended up to this point. But let me tell you, if you do not love God, you will listen to anybody, right? What did John say in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27? Apart from many teachers, you still need another one, the anointing in you, right? But you also need other teachers. Did he say that? Huh? Somebody read 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 to me. Anyone. John, you have a strong voice. Would you please stand up?
But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you.
No, 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 no. You need also someone to teach you. No, you're wrong. John is wrong.
You do not need that anyone.
No, that's wrong. You agree with him? Or do you agree with me? How come you agree with him and you don't agree with me? So what do you believe? Those teachers? Or do you believe what First John tells you? Again, would you please?
Not need that anyone teach you.
Oh, wow. Really? Let's just close the conference right now and everybody go home. I'm not teaching you here. I'm having fellowship with you. Yeah, go ahead.
But as the same anointing concerning
some things. No, come on. Something, a few things, all things, really. You believe that? And is
just it's not you, you will abide in him.
Praise the Lord. It's no lie. People can lie to you, but not the anointing. Teach people you're a baby God, that's a big lie. That's a damnable lie. Thank you, John. Right. Why would you believe in man and not believe in the most wonderful teacher that lives in you, the anointing, the Holy Spirit? Same thing in John chapter 14. When he comes, he will teach you something, a few things. He will not only teach you all things, he will lead you into all truth. Who can do that? Nobody can do that. They assume such authority, but they are nothing. No. So, this eternal life that is in you is at the same time the most wonderful teacher. The anointing that teaches you all things. And he not only teaches you, He brought the very essence of Christ into your being. That's why it's an anointing. Right? If you have problems here, you're bitten by the mosquitoes, you put some anointing here, you put some oil. What happened to the oil? It's absorbed into your skin. The anointing will anoint you with all the elements of Christ. Who can do that? Who can do that? And what about the new covenant in the book of Hebrews? What did it say? From the youngest to the oldest, you need a teacher. No? Ah, somebody reads that. That's a new covenant, okay? That's a new covenant. What is a new covenant? You need a lot of teachers, many teachers? Anna, you have it? Right. Yes. What? No, all of them shall teach one another. No, all of them shall teach one another. That's what we are taught. Again, all of them. Are you convinced? None of them shall learn anything by themselves. No, but none of them shall teach his neighbor. Say, no, the Lord, you don't need to teach anyone. Isn't it wonderful? You have to realize how awful it is to be a teacher. Don't think I like to teach. No, I don't like to teach. I would rather stay home and have my peace instead of getting involved in all the problems. So, they all shall know the Lord from the youngest, from the least to the oldest, to the greatest. Right. So I see some young people sitting here. Do you need a lot of teachers to teach you? You should say, no, I have the anointing. Right. Don't be distracted by that. Don't worry. But this is what the Word of God says. Because you have the anointing in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. This is the evidence of eternal life. Who can write in your heart? People can write many books, right? You have a lot of books, don't you? It's very easy to write books. But is it easier to write in your heart and put it in your mind? Who can do such writing? You tell me. Paul says the ministry of the new covenant is not to write books. But it is write this wonderful word of Christ into your heart, and the ink is the Holy Spirit, and you become an epistle of Christ. So, how many epistles are there here in this room? Don't you know, dear sister, you're an epistle of Christ? And who can write his word into your heart and put it in your mind becomes a part of your being. It's only by this eternal life that the Lord has put into us. And it will make you a man who loves God. Praise the Lord. You can read it by yourself, okay? You don't need anyone to teach you. Conference ends tonight. But I'm not teaching you. We're having fellowship with one another to encourage one another. But the main thing is you have to know what God has given you, this wonderful eternal life. And you need to know God through this inner anointing, through the life that is within you. Then you will truly know God. And that way of knowing God is the way of life. Amen. Time is up. So praise the Lord.